Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Straight Talk for the Soul series, your vibrational, multidimensional vitamin for the body, mind, and spirit. I'm Carrie Murphy, your host, creator, and founder of this global broadcast and brilliant community of light. I want to extend a bright and beautiful good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of you tuning in from around the world to help me welcome intuitive energy healer, light language channel, Sarah Goodman. She is my co-creative partner for today. We're going to talk about light language and how it can expand your connection with spirit, return you to your true divine nature. We'll talk about connecting with the stars and star beings, all of our favorite empowering topics here. So welcome home, luminous light leaders, love activators, consciousness conductors, and starlight messengers. This is your safe haven. It is a sacred space and a sanctuary for connection and renewal, restoration, and rejuvenation. It's a unity community to empower you as you come into communion with your divine essence. I want you to know that I am dedicated and devoted every single day here to walking hand in hand and heart to heart with all of you as we discover our divinity, experience the renewal of our radiance. So just rest assured that you being here right now, it means that you're ready for a shift, an opening. And that opening and that shift is available. And together we're going to experience a frequency upgrade to realize that shift in new areas of your life. Just know that blessings are on their way to you. Just relax and breathe. Open and receive. I do want to invite all of you to subscribe to this show if you haven't already. It's a free platform that you can access at straighttalkforthesoul.com. You can also listen to all of our replays on iTunes and connect with us further in our private Facebook group or on Instagram. Just enter in Straight Talk for the Soul or Carrie L. Murphy to find me personally. It's time to ask my favorite question. And if you come here often, you know what that is. What's the best that could happen here today with Sarah and me and all of you? Please set a clear, empowered, personal intention for what you want to experience and just allow yourself to feel and flow and feel and flow into the highest manifestation of those intentions, into greater freedom and liberation during our time together and beyond. My personal intention is for soulfully soothing energy to flow through my voice and the sacred energetic space with grace and ease, welcoming and inviting in the highest divine support and participation throughout our time together. Please write in. Let us know how you're feeling throughout the show and our webcast if you'd like to. I'll be checking in and would like to hear from you. And now let me tell you about my co-creative partner for today, Sarah. Sarah, as I mentioned, is an intuitive and empathic healer, a light language channel. She was born highly sensitive and psychic, felt energy her whole life. During her childhood, she had many experiences with star beings, with spirit, that led her along the path of seeking spiritual knowledge. She trained in many holistic and healing modalities over 25 years, and Sarah discovered that she could naturally speak light language a few years ago. And she does this amazing artwork that brings through this light language as well. It's had a huge effect on her own life, and she's helped many clients to have some incredible breakthroughs. Additionally, Sarah supports souls to return to spirit as an end-of-life doula and loves creating and channeling the vibrational healing art that I just mentioned. Today, we're going to talk about how light language can help heal and expand your spiritual connection, how the star beings are there to guide you and help you as they have always guided Sarah, even in her darkest days. Plus, she'll lead us through a meditation later where you'll have the opportunity to meet and connect with beautiful star beings who are here to assist you and support you. So I am honored to celebrate and introduce you to Sarah today. So please join me in extending waves and waves of love, light, and joy to Sarah as I welcome her to the show. Sarah, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm so excited to be here. What an amazing introduction.
Well, you're an amazing lady, an amazing soul, and I really applaud you. I was so excited just to introduce you to this community, Sarah, because you're doing some amazing work and you've gone through a lot. You know, as I think a lot of us who are light workers and star seeds, we go through a lot to really step into our power and courageously do what we came here to do. So I want to talk a little bit about your experience as a child that led you into this. What do you want to share about some of the visits from these star beings that you had when you were growing up?
Yeah, so I think I had a very classic star being, or sorry, star seed upbringing, where you just feel really different from everyone else.
Yes.
So I was, I mean, even before I could talk or walk, I was scared of the moon. When I was about 2 years old, I wouldn't go outside if I could see the moon. My mum obviously was like, what's going on? You know, she didn't understand. But that feeling just carried on as I grew up. She didn't understand a lot of the things I experienced. But yeah, so it started really young by not being scared of the moon. And then I'd have kind of visitations. I mean, I didn't really understand what was going on at all when I was a child. You know, you don't, do you? But mm-hmm. weird things would happen. Like they'd kind of, I'd always get a kind of warning signal first, like a really distinct feeling in my body, which still happens as an adult. And I really can't explain it. It's kind of just like an unearthly type feeling. I don't know. But this would happen. And then after that happened, I'd get, it's as if they were squeezing my energy out of my body and they were kind of coming into my body. And my vision would just change, the what I could see, like the dimensions kind of my bedroom and stuff would all change. And I just had loads of really kind of weird experiences like that. And when I spoke to my parents about it, they'd be like, oh, it's just a bad dream. And I'm like, no, I was wide awake and sitting up in my bed. It wasn't a dream. And it would happen so often. But and obviously, because it happened so often, they were just like, oh, it's just another one of those dreams. You know, don't worry about it. But that kind of set me off as not trusting my own feelings, because they were dismissing them. And, you know, that's not good to happen continuously as a child, to be just told what you're experiencing is not correct, or not, you know, it's not real. So, yeah.
You stop talking about it, right?
Yeah,
I get it.
You know, my sisters didn't have the same experiences. My parents had no clue. You know, they're like, what on earth is she talking about? We don't know. Distorted visions and energy changing, and I'd be like paralyzed in my bed, and I'd just be so scared and so sensitive. And they would always just say, oh, stop being so sensitive, Sarah. That's like the phrase I just heard all the time, just stop being so sensitive. And you can't obviously just stop, can you? So,
right.
I wish I could.
Yes. I can relate, and I think a lot of people who listen to this show can relate, you know, as sensitive, you know, we see and feel everything, and, you know, hear things that other people don't hear, feel, you know, I know that's the case for me as well. And then, as you said, it made you kind of shut down, and it was hard for you to really speak your truth or, really express yourself in these ways. And that's the case for a lot of us. And so I really admire you for staying with this. And what did you learn? I mean, after, you know, wanting to find answers on your own as an adult, and I guess you started maybe in high school or around that age, what did you learn about what was really going on and who these star beings are, and more about your psychic abilities? What did you learn?
Well, I mean, it took a really, really long time. And it's probably been only really the last sort of 10 years that I found out what those experiences actually were. And, you know, obviously when I was younger, I kind of, you know, my teens and 20s, I knew they were kind of spirits or something, but I didn't really know about star beings. But I remember when I was about 10, I went to the library. And I'd always been interested in, you know, different things. And I'd be reading books about religion and things like that. But one time I went, there was a book on reincarnation. And it was the first time I'd seen a book on reincarnation. And I actually stole the book from the library, my little 10-year-old self. I think it's the only thing I've ever stolen in my life. But I've still actually got the book now. And I went through the book with a highlighter, highlighting all these stories of children who'd had, you know, who'd remembered their past life. And I was just like, this is it. This is the information I need. This is, you know, so valuable to me. I need to completely read this book and absorb everything that's in it. And I think that kind of started me off on the journey to discover what was actually going on and what, you know, my experiences were. And yeah, and it just took a long time of discovery that they weren't just normal spirits, because, you know, I used to go to like mediumship circles and it's like, well, it's almost right, but it's not quite right. And,
right.
You know, it was only, like, say, the last 10 years, really, that I knew about different galaxies and star beings like that. And then I had an experience in Mount Shasta, and it all just kind of, you know, all these experiences add up, and then you eventually, like, oh, my God, that's it. So that's what it is. And
the puzzle pieces come together.
Yeah.
Oh, what happened? I know that you had a meeting with the Arcturians in Mount Shasta. What actually took place?
So I'd always wanted to go to Arizona, and I'd always had a thing about the desert. I remember watching a film about Jim Morrison when I was a teenager, and he went to the desert, and I was like, oh, something about that is like really, I don't know, just feels connected to me. So when I eventually went to go, and I was flying in to Phoenix, and I could see like some of the landscape, I actually started crying on the plane when I saw the landscape, because it just felt so familiar, and I felt so relieved to finally be there. I didn't even really understand, you know, at that time again, why, but I just knew I had to go. I knew it was really significant for me, and I knew I'd never started crying just looking at some rocks before when I'd flown anywhere else around the world. So I knew it was really, really, you know, important. And then I obviously, you know, we went to Mount Shasta, went to Sedona and did meditations and stuff. And I had really, really clear visions of meeting the Arcturians, going to their ships and being kind of like welcomed and applauded for being kind of like a scout. They're like, oh, you're checking it out for us. You know, what have you got back? What you can report to us. And I was kind of like a scout, giving them information about Earth and, you know, where Earth was. And so it was a really, really powerful trip. I knew I had a calling to go, but I didn't know how powerful and how significant it was. And that kind of started off my really strong connection with like star beings, and then that led to light language and everything else.
And everything else you're doing. So let's talk about light language. And, you know, your perception of it. I know that, you know, you've realized that it's not just sound, that it comes through in a variety of ways. And like for you, it's through your artwork. It can be through our hands or our voice. But it's really about bringing natural balance. But what else, what can you share that you've learned about it from your experience?
So for me, light language is, it just kind of feels like the next level of healing. You know, 20 years ago, Reiki kind of was, you know, starting to expand, and everyone was on about Reiki. To me, this kind of feels like a higher dimension, and it feels like it's laser beam in focus. It feels like it's really direct and really powerful to me. And I feel that I don't necessarily think it only comes from a galactic source. I think you can have it. I think it is just a expression of love, and you could get it from the earth. You could get it from different realms, but lots of people kind of connect, I think, with the galactic source of it because it's, because it's the most matches their vibration, like the star seeds that have obviously come to kind of shift the consciousness on Earth at the moment. And so I think a lot of the people do connect with this galactic thing because they need to remember healing from the past and, you know, Earth's past history to be able to assist with what's going on now. And I feel it can be, yeah, it can be expressed in any way. I mean, I never heard of being able to, you know, translate pictures before. I didn't, you know, I don't really know. I know people draw it, but I've never heard of anyone being able to really translate them. And I don't know, I just kind of fell into it. It just kind of, you know, I think when I let go of the fact, like for years and years I did healing and stuff, but I always kind of felt like I was doing something wrong because I was trying to do it the way I was taught, you know, and that's obviously what we do. It's like, oh, this is the way and you have to do it the way the teacher tells you. But it was only when I really gave up kind of following anyone else or anyone else's ideas and rules and really just went with what I felt, that everything just kind of opened up and I realized I had my completely own unique way of doing it. And obviously it sounds, you know, quite simple and basic now. Of course you've got your own way of doing it, but I just wanted for so long, I just wanted to conform and, you know, do things the right way, how, you know, everyone else does it. And that, you know, took a long time to get that kind of conditioning out of my brain that I could just do it my own way and that's fine. And actually that's better than any other way. And so I think that's what love language is about. It's about finding your own way of healing or your own way of sharing this love. And it doesn't matter if it's not the same as anyone else's. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just, yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was a big lesson to be able to do it my way.
Yeah, and trusting yourself and your unique way of bringing it through. And it really is a very direct, very potent healing tool that can really impact someone's physical health, their spiritual remembrance, connection. It's on any level that this impacts. Haven't you noticed that? Like, it's not just to expand your spiritual connection, although that's huge, but it impacts someone's health, right?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I think we haven't really understood it fully yet. I think, you know, we're so kind of at the beginning of what light language is. Is it like a healing tool? Is it a, you know, spiritual development tool? We haven't really, I think, fully grasped how massive or how, you know, all-encompassing it is. And I don't think we've really got the language yet to kind of really, yeah, identify what it is, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it is, and I've learned the only way for healing to happen is, as you know, too, I mean, it's all about energy and moving energy. That's how physical healing happens. That's how emotional healing happens. Spiritual healing happens because it gets stuck in the energy field or, you know, eventually in the body. And so it's moving that energy and somehow, and you're right, sometimes we don't have the words to describe or explain it, but somehow the light language, however it comes through, whether it's sound or voice or artwork or whatever, hand movements, it shifts, it breaks that energy up and moves things. So there's a flow again, and there's a flow of remembrance and healing and grace and all of these things. And it's probably what helped you and helps you help others in freeing up that space where fear once was, or, you know, fear of speaking your truth, fear of this, fear of that, which sometimes you don't even know where it came from. You know, it could be from other lifetimes. It could be from this one. But did you find that when you started doing the light language that it impacted you personally as well as clients?
Yeah, completely. More, well, yeah. I mean, I say more so, but obviously because it's personal, it feels more, you know, I can see the changes. But since I started speaking light language, yeah, I'm a different person. I mean, at that time when I've heard about it for quite a long time, and I literally had absolutely no idea that it was something I could do. It didn't even enter my mind that it would be something I could do. I knew I could do, you know, like just normal energy healing, but light language, because it was like a spoken form of healing, I just dismissed it. Like, that's not me, because I can't speak in public. I can't do anything like that. I mean, I dropped out of university to avoid doing presentations. I've I spent a whole year's counselling course where I didn't speak a single word at the beginning and the end of the check-in session, every single session. I couldn't say a word. And every single session, they'd go around a circle and everyone would say how they're doing and then they'd get to me and I would just sit there for in complete silence, which most people would be really uncomfortable with the silence. But I was better with that than having to actually speak, because I just had such a massive fear about public speaking and showing up like that. But then when I started speaking light language, that's when all that started to change. And I don't think I'd be doing this interview. I don't think I'd be doing any of the work I'm doing if I hadn't got over my fears by accessing that light language.
Mm-hmm. Well, you would never know. I mean, listening to you now, and I forgot how I was led to you, Sarah, in your work, but I'm always guided. When there's going to be a speaker, an individual, or a healer that is going to benefit the community and myself, clearly, and all of us, I'm sometimes guided. But I believe it was from seeing your light language artwork on some, I can't remember now whether it was Instagram or Facebook, but, and then experiencing that for myself. I mean, you offer sessions. Yeah. I mean, your healing is very powerful. And then, I have my artwork that you did, which I had never seen anything quite like that or felt or experienced anything. So it was very unique. And so I'm honored to have you here to just celebrate you for how far you've come and what you're sharing. Go ahead.
I was going to say, how did you feel when you heard the reading that went with your picture? Did that resonate with you?
Oh, it did. I think I remember contacting you back, but yeah, it was unlike a reading I had had before, but it was very accurate. I resonated very strongly with it, but it just see the colors and the light language on the piece of art was really, I still have it sitting with, I have these two walls of my own artwork, which is a lot of light language through, ribbons of color, and I have yours in there with it. And so whenever I walk in there, it's like, bam, it's like, woof, very powerful. And, it's beautiful. And, so I'm thankful that people are going to have the opportunity to work with you. And actually another highlight of your work, Sarah, is helping people make that connection with the star beings and the stars and really helping them understand the significance of that. And you're going to be offering a live gathering for people to be able to do that. And today, a little bit later, you're going to lead us through a meditation where people can connect with their star. Do you call it star family, yeah, star beings? I guess it's all the same, right?
Yeah. Yeah, both really. I call them, yeah.
It's all the same. You know what I wanted to ask you about that I thought was, I wanted to hear about was, you were actually in a Chinese prison. And I don't know what happened to get you there. Was it the book that you stole from the library? I don't know. what got you there? And I know that even while you were there, you had signs from spirit.
I did. I mean, so it's an interesting story. So I used to live in Thailand, and I'd used to go to Hong Kong for a few months to work and then go play on the beach, in Thailand. And I got into the drugs there, and, because I'd completely disassociated from my body. I was, I could connect to spirit easily, but connecting to my body, I wasn't interested in that. So I really didn't feel like my body belonged to me or respect it or, so I completely abused my body. but I was in Hong Kong, and loads of people I knew, taken all sorts of drugs and whatever, and they'd been arrested two or three times, and none of them ever went to prison. They just got a fine and, went back. So when I got arrested by the police, I wasn't worried at all. I had £10 worth of drugs on me, like $10, tiny, tiny amount. First offence, I had absolutely no worries. But on the morning of going to court, I had my Native American medicine cards with me. So I picked a card, and it said retreat. And it said, this is a time, a barren time for you to be alone, like with other women. And I was like, oh, I was with my friends. I was like, this is a really bad sign. Like, this isn't good. She's like, oh, don't be silly. It's just a card. And I was like, oh, are you sure? She goes, look, it's just a card. No one's, you know, nothing's going to happen. Everyone's, you know, we know loads of people who this has happened to before. They get a $50 fine and they're gone. You know, nothing happens. So I was like, okay. I want to do the right thing, you know, pay the fine and just get on with my life. So I went to the court, and then halfway through, and they were like, okay, we're going to take a break and then we get back to your court, so, you know. And then during that break, again, I got a really, really strong feeling. It's like, you have to leave. You have to leave now. And I ignored it again. So I had two signs. I ignored them both. And I went back to the courtroom. And then he was like, actually, it's with a really heavy heart. But, yeah, I'm sentencing you. And I was like, this isn't meant to happen. No one else has been put in prison. Like, even other Chinese girls, that, you know, third, fourth, fifth time they've been caught with much larger amounts, they weren't put in prison. So it was kind of divinely guided, because it was so weird. It was just, yeah. And, I mean, I could write a whole book about the experience of what happened in there, but it was just, it's very interesting, because you've got no identity at all. They cut your hair, you've got no name, you've got no mirrors, you've got no money. So you're kind of really just nothing. And I felt like I was just going to be lost and die in this remote prison in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, they put us in leg braces and shackles. It was like something out of like a slave film. It was really basic. I mean, Chinese prison is not the same as like English or American prisons. This was really, really, you know, extreme. They did really, yeah, it was bad. And there's, like I say, there's so many stories, but there were signs from spirit while I was in there. Like on my birthday, every other morning, they would wake us up with Chinese music, and the guards would go along with their truncheons and bang the side of the corrugated kind of iron shed kind of thing that we slept in. And they did that every morning. But on my birthday, there wasn't Chinese music. There was Oasis playing, and I loved Oasis. And I'm like, what? How on earth is Oasis playing on my birthday? Like, that's just, and it was on the radio. I'm like, how? And it never happened again, just on my birthday. I was like, that's a sign, if anything. And then, and this is a human sign that happened, but it still, it was a really nice sign. On Christmas Day, one of the guards called me over, and you didn't want a guard calling you over, because it was never, never good. But she called me over, went over, and she put her finger up to her mouth and went, shh, and said, quiet. And then she got her hand and she snuck something in my hand. And then, but she went shush again and told me to walk off. So I didn't know what was in my hand, and I walked off. And then I got back to the seat, and she'd given me a little Ferrero Rocher chocolate. And because she knew that I was like, it was Christmas, the Chinese don't really celebrate it, I was on my own, you know, gave me this chocolate. And I was just like, that's so lovely. She would literally have lost her job, and it would have been awful because they were so strict. But she went out of her way just to give me a sign that, you know, I was loved, or, you know, that someone was looking out for me. And so, yeah, and I actually learned to meditate in there as well, because I had to do something to control, you know, because time goes so slowly, it's unbelievable. So I had to do something to, like, manage my time, and I learned to meditate, and I think that's what really kept me sane, because... yeah, it was extreme. It was really hard. And, yeah, meditation was, if I hadn't known about it, you know, I don't know what I'd have done, because that was, yeah, that just saved me. It really did.
Right. Well, it's interesting how those things can happen. And, you know, I don't think I mentioned at the top of the show when I was reading your bio, I mean, you have been through a lot, you know, really disassociating from your body, a lot of, challenges with self-worth, with your body, with sexual abuse, a lot of different things that went on in your life. You know, this experience in this Chinese prison. I mean, a lot of different things that led you to opening to spirit and to healing. And, you know, a lot has happened in your experience here. And now, you know, to hear you and see you, you know, over the last 10 years, what you're doing is so beautiful. And, you know, it's such an inspiration to anyone listening who might feel like they can never get out of some of those bad experiences or that battling their body or, you know, some of these things. But it's possible, and it's why we're here, and you're a living example of that. I am as well. Yeah. So, yeah, so thank you for sharing that. And then when did you become a doula, an end-of-life doula?
So my oldest child is about 18, and when he was little, he had loads of issues going on. He was in special care for nearly 2 months, and he had operations and stuff. And I felt really lonely, and, you know, new mum, whatever. So I thought I'd start volunteering. So I started volunteering at the Samaritan, and I just found it amazing that I could talk to people who were on their own. No one else wanted, you know, to know. They were obviously, you know, quite often addicts or, you know, people that other people in society didn't want to deal with. And yet I was having these amazing conversations with them about them wanting to end their life, you know, should they do it. And as a Samaritan, we're not actually trained to talk people out of ending their life. If they decide that's the right decision, then we're there to support them. And I just thought it was sacred work. And so I did that for a few years, and at the same time as I was doing mediumship work. And then just one day I came across an article about, you know, these end-of-life doulas who are supporting people as people are passing over. And I thought, well, I'm talking to people before they're dying. I'm talking to souls after they've died as a medium. This is like the middle bit, the bit in the middle that is missing. So it just made perfect sense to train and to support people as they're dying. And it is, it's sacred work. It's just amazing to be there. Really, really passionate.
Are you still doing that now, Sarah? Whoops, I think we lost Sarah for a second. I'm sure that she will call back. And, yeah, I hope so. I trust that she will anytime that this happens. And little things like this have been happening, as you guys know, if you listen to the show. We've been having some interesting, fun challenges technically where we just have to flow with it. I never get upset or anything about it. It's like, okay, let's see what's going to happen now. Until she comes back, let me tell you about her special offering. She's doing an Activating Your Own Light Language webinar on Monday, May 10th. And that's where you're going to have the opportunity to connect with star beings, star energy, the galactic races, all that. Yeah, and for the purpose of opening up to light language, that's going to be a live webinar that she will be offering again on Monday, May 10th. Let me see if she's back yet real quick. Nope, she's not. Okay, offer B is the Activating Your Light Language session plus a private one-on-one connection session with Sarah. So that's something, she's a really profound healer. She brings in all of these different tools and techniques, and she's calling it a private light language healing session, where you will return to your original divine blueprint, and she tailors it clearly to whatever you need support with. And she uses Arcturian light codes, spoken light language, her psychic knowing, some advanced vibrational medicine techniques in this healing session. So those two are available. You can find them at straighttalkforthesoul.com in our marketplace. You'll see Sarah's beautiful face and click on that to see these offerings. And She's not back yet. So I'm going to go to our web test and see what kind of questions we have in here. Gloria just wrote in, hi, Carrie and Sarah. I'm wondering if you can say something about the subtleties of the state of allowing and reaching for more connection to and with spirit. Gratefully, I am evolving each day. New insights are unfolding, but I wonder if I'm doing enough about the subtleties of allowing. Yeah, that's a practice, Gloria. I know for me, it's a practice of getting very sacredly centered to allow some of these things to come through. It's, oh, I just saw you come back. Are you back, Sarah?
Oh, my goodness.
Hi, I just
I don't
kept
know
talking.
That's never happened before.
It happens here quite often, so I'm kind of used to it.
Okay.
I just went with the flow. I told them about your offerings, and I forget. Oh, we were talking about you as a doula, and
Oh, yeah.
I know the last thing I believe I asked you is, are you still doing that?
I am, yeah. I've got two clients at the moment. Yeah, it's just as well because the whole deaf industry is messed up, you know. Our whole view of deaf and dying is, well, not everyone's, obviously in this community is probably very different, but outside this community it's messed up and people are so fearful and they don't. I run a deaf cafe as well because I'm really passionate about educating people about the different choices that they can make at the end of their life, because people don't plan for it. You know, they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to think about it. So they don't plan for it. And then obviously it happens and they just go to their local funeral director and then they're in that kind of system and they just get what everyone's always got, you know, which is not very holistic, not very heart-centered, not very nice. But there's absolutely amazing people doing, you know, holistic funeral directors with really heart-centered practices, and oh my god, the difference is just like black and white. It's so amazing when you go to a funeral or have an experience like that, you know, where someone is, where the, you know, the funeral director actually remembers the person's name, or, you know, it's, there's just so much difference, and
right.
You can make it such a sacred and amazing, well, not amazing, but you can make it such a, you know, special and personalized time, which isn't the standard, which, you know, is awful.
Absolutely.
Really.
Yeah. Well, and also doing it at home, you know, I think that's so much. I mean, my stepfather of 36 years passed away in January, and we did it, you know, he was at home, we had help at home, and it was so much more peaceful, you know, not the chaos of the hospital. And, you know, it was really special to be able to sit with him and talk with him, and, you know, even when he wasn't conscious. So it made it much more peaceful for everyone. So I understand what you mean. So I appreciate your dedication to that, in addition to everything else you're doing as this, you know, with all of the light language and the painting and or the artwork. I don't know if you call it painting or do you call it painting? Is it painting or is it?
Well, no, because I don't use paint. I use
right.
Paint,
that's what I was just thinking.
I quite often call it painting, but I feel the same way. It's like, well, it's not really a painting.
It's artwork. It's vibrational artwork, and
it is.
Everything is about vibration. So, I'm just going to highlight the two offerings, and then we'll go into the meditation. I want to see if you want to add anything to what I shared while you were gone for a second.
Okay.
So, the two offerings, Offer A is Activating Your Own Light Language, and that's an online gathering, an online webinar, Monday, May 10th. So as I was sharing with the audience, you're going to open them up to connecting with the star beings and the star energy, and I'm guessing that's for the purpose of allowing the light language to come through. Is that the intention?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
I think it's like people often say, you know, can everyone speak light language? And I think they can, but not everyone will, obviously. But I think And I don't think, you know, you can't just do it just because you want to do it. It's like anything. It's kind of a process. I think there's a certain amount of healing that has to happen. So that has to happen. But there's definitely steps you can take and processes you can do that would definitely help. So, yeah.
Yes. And then offer B. Oh, I didn't mention that you included two different audios in offer A, meeting your star being aspect as a soul journey to meet the star being aspect of your soul and make a strong new connection with your star being guide to anchor in your galactic frequencies. And also another audio is meeting with the Palladians, where you travel through space to a Palladian mothership and meet the friendly, benevolent Palladians, and they share information with you about your ascension journey. And thank you for adding those two in there.
Okay.
That's a beautiful offering for $111, and we have the three-pay option for those of you who want to pay it over 3 months. And then offer B is all of that plus a light language session with you. And that's just a private session that anything else you want to add about that session, Sarah?
So with the private sessions, it is kind of I meet the person where they are and what they need. So they are really varied. It can be, you know, physical healing, or it can be, you know, spiritual connection type stuff or galactic stuff. It really is kind of meeting them where they are. And I will do I won't do a full light language soul signature picture, but I will draw I call it a key, a light language key to help. So the energies that we work with in the session, I'll draw.
Beautiful. Did she leave us again? She did. Oh my gosh. Oh, Sarah. Well, I didn't know that she was going to include that light code key that she would draw in the session. So that was good to know. I'm hoping she comes back because we're supposed to do a meditation to meet the star beings, which I believe will be about 15 or 20 minutes long if we get to do it. I'm just going to go with the flow here. Let me go back to our webcast. Let's see who's writing in. Lacey. Hi, Lacey. Wow, what a wild journey. Sending you so much love, Carrie. I appreciate the circle very much. I appreciate you, Lacey. Thank you for that. Tama from California, I'm appreciating you both. The heartfelt honesty is poignant and powerful. Thank you, Carrie and Sarah. Thanks, Tama. A lot of you have written in. Natasha from the Netherlands. Hi, Natasha. Hi, Carrie and Sarah. Thank you for your show. I have a question. I have something about light language, but my voice was so low, and I asked myself if it was light language. Huh. Well, I always feel like if it's coming through and it doesn't sound like your native tongue, your English, or whatever it happens to be, it is. That's what I would say. Trust that. And it doesn't have to sound like – I know a lot of you who listen to the show, there are so many dialects and different ways that this light language comes through. Some it's angelics, or it can be galactics, or – but yours can be very unique, and you don't have to know exactly what it is, but I would trust it, whatever that happens to be. I think she's back. You're back. What good timing.
I'm back. I don't think my mobile phone provider does not like me ringing in America for some reason.
Well, I was just going on. I figured you would be back. I was hoping so. But thank you for sharing more about the offers, and I hope those of you who are resonating with Sarah, you'll take advantage of those beautiful opportunities to work with her and experience what she does on a more personal level. So, Sarah, should we try to do the the meditation?
I'm a bit nervous now, but I'm going to crash in the middle of it, but let's give it a go.
Yes, let's give it a go, and... Intend for a fluid flow.
Extra guidance and divine luck, I think, is what we need. Right.
Yes. So, all will go well, Sarah.
Okay, cool. Right. Okay, so here goes.
Okay.
And just notice your breath. Don't need to change it. Judge it. Just notice how it anchors you into your body. we can use the breath to help, meditation to help us stabilize and focus our intention and our body. I'd like you just to call your energy back. Anything you've lost, leaked or given away, call back to you now. Your energy will be cleared, cleansed and detoxified as it easily comes back to you. Maybe you're thinking of a situation or a person. You just need to call it all back to you from wherever your energy is. Like a magnet coming back to its home. You are bringing your energy easily back to you now. Cleared, cleansed and detoxified. Feel strong, complete with this energy. All coming back to you. I'm going to create a sacred space for us to work in. An area outside of normal time, normal life. A sacred area for us to do work. To really have an intention of this sacred space. To do deep healing work from our highest good. To be able to reach frequencies and dimensions that we don't normally have access to in our everyday life. So I'm imagining us all connected in this sacred space. I'm just going to say a bit of light language to reinforce the boundaries of this sacred space. Just let the light language absorb into your body and know that it's creating this boundary. Aya la toko, mia sia la loto, mia kiata, alia toto fuia, tia malata toko o beata malata, tiata, a sita katatana loto, ea bia la la toko, bia satalata, ko. Okay, so we've created a sacred space around us, we've called our energy back.
She just disappeared again. I'm so sorry, you guys, for that interruption. And I'm kind of sensing that we might just want to wrap this up. We had a good 50 minutes with the beautiful Sarah, and I hope you guys enjoyed her. She's really a special soul. And if you did resonate, and as I'm glancing in the webcast, a lot of you really have, please honor her by checking out her offerings and, is including her in your journey. So, I'm feeling intuitively it's time to go ahead and wrap up the show for today. Thank you all so much for being here and for your flexibility with some of these things that happen. You know, we're just going with the flow. So, thank you for the gift of your time and your love today. Really appreciate you. And again, open to receive the benefits of everything that she is providing for you. And remember, you guys, you are brilliant. You are resilient. You're dearly loved. You're not alone. Thank you for joining us on this soulful adventure today. I'm sending waves and waves of grace and glory and gratitude from my heart to yours. May you feel it, receive it, and offer it to those you encounter today or tonight, wherever you happen to be in the world. And as always, until next time, and I'm actually having a Wednesday show tomorrow. That'll be tomorrow. Please give yourself full permission to shine instead of shrink, express instead of suppress, and own that amazing, powerful glow of yours. I'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye, everybody.